State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
I would say I'm fairly confident in starting the school year. I think what has happened in the last couple weeks with all of the increase in the number of COVID-19 cases makes me a little wary about maybe starting, but I think for the most part we should be able to go.
On the air first when seconds count.
Communications going on and talking to people and making sure that as we move forward through this this challenge that we'll be able to still come on the other side with a project.
The news team you've come to depend on.
He has done an excellent job as the assistant superintendent. He is very well qualified, and I think the two best things is it will make our transition very seamless, but particularly in this environment that we're in right now, it will provide us with a lot of stability for the school staff and the students as well as the community.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I am your host, Ken Hartman. We just had a great talk about our high school football opening night last night with Clinton Central head football coach George Gilbert and our play-by-play guy, Don Stock. Now we're going to go to the college world and bring in Jim Schaus, who's the Southern Conference commissioner. Jim, good morning. How are you doing? Jim, are you there?
Yep, I lost you.
Okay, yeah, okay. Got you back there. Jim, good morning. How are you doing down there?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
We're doing just great over here. If people recognize the last name, they should. We're talking, you know, a Purdue legend, at least in my mind, because when I remember growing up, your dad was a heck of a head basketball coach over at Purdue.
Yeah, he was. He had a great career as a coach at West Virginia, the Los Angeles Lakers in Purdue, and then as an athletic director at West Virginia. Very proud of his career and loved growing up in West Lafayette when we moved from California to Indiana. It was a great experience, great place to be.
How was it going from L.A. to the Midwest?
A dramatic change.
I would think so.
Yeah, I just remember being in a car all day long. Seems like when we were in California, it took me over an hour to get to my doctor and 45 minutes to a dentist. We lived up on Palos Verdes, and we came down. A lot of driving. I can remember going to Laker games. So the Forum then was, and the sports arena was, you know, probably, you know, close to, you know, about an hour away. So you made a lot of games, a lot of travel. But, you know, certainly California's a beautiful state. I loved Indiana. It was perfect fit for me. I was kind of just made for a hometown feel and a community sense. And I loved growing up in West Lafayette. Started at sixth grade and finished at Purdue. So it's a many tremendous memories.
Yeah, and you and I have talked or emailed back and forth earlier this week. You know, you had played at Case Arena several times when you were at West Lafayette High School.
We did. Yep, home of the hot dogs. We the Red Devils came down there several times, and we had some good teams. Went to a Sweet 16 my senior year. I think we were 23-3 during the regular season, and just had some tremendous memories of just really all of mid-north Indiana. Just got to be familiar with that. And then when I got into college, I was a reporter for the Lafayette Journal-Courier, so I actually covered a lot of high school football and basketball games, did some traveling from North Newton to you name it. So really enjoyed my time doing that as well.
Got it. From North Newton clear to where? Well, that's an awful lot of territory to cover in this state.
It is.
So, why the decision to get into athletic administration?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I started at Purdue, I was after 2 years, I was in the School of Business, and it just hit me that's what I really wanted to do. And I remember talking to my dad. He was at Mackey Arena, and I told him that, Dad, guess what? I've decided I want to be in athletics. And he gave me a response that I wasn't ready for. He says, "Well, why would you want to do something dumb like that?" And okay, there was like a pause there, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I was expecting kind of that prodigal son coming home and a big hug for this, but he explained to me how challenging the profession is, and he just said, I just want you to understand, it's a great field, but it's not all that it seems. You have to, there's a lot of work, there's some challenges, and if you're up for it, and I explained why I wanted to do it, he goes, okay, I'm supportive, but that was kind of an interesting story. But no, I obviously, my father had been in athletics, I love athletics. I just wanted to be involved and make a difference, and I started in media relations and moved into marketing and got into fundraising and got in various roles administratively in college athletics and did want to have the opportunity to serve as a Division I athletic director, and I did that for 9 years at Wichita State and 11 at Ohio. Mm-hmm. And just, had a great run at that and was just ready for something maybe a little different at the end of my career, and to be the commissioner of the Southern Conference was a great fit. And some interesting irony, the success my father had in his 5 years coaching at West Virginia, they were in the Southern Conference at that time. Mm-hmm. So it kind of came full circle. And we love the area here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and love the job. So we're very blessed.
Why the decision that you guys made to go ahead and basically cancel fall sports? I'm pretty sure I know the reason why. But also, you're still allowing some of your schools, if they wanted to go ahead and play football. Go ahead and explain that if you would.
Yeah, so I think at a conference, the membership really dictates the decisions that take place, and usually that governance structure, it starts with the athletic directors about where they are, and recommendations are made to the Council of Presidents. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Council of Presidents felt like for health and safety reasons, also for just, it was just going to be very, very challenging on many fronts in order to really stage a conference season and a championship. The timing just wasn't right and ideal. There's just too many hurdles to get over. And so at the same time, there was desire at the AD level and our presence level, to have some flexibility. So for the ability for them to make some independent decisions, on their non-conference schedule. So schools get to make those decisions on their non-conference schedules anyway. They schedule those. They work out the details, who they play. We'll help them get officiating and things like that for their home games. So we, like a number of conferences, I think, did allow a little flexibility, even though, by and large, we moved our event to the spring. And I think those decisions are up to each individual institution. So for those that feel like they've got good protocols from a health and safety standpoint and all of our schools have a good plan against COVID-19, then, certainly if they need to have that flexibility, I think that's reasonable, and that was the vote of the membership.
Basically, the real reason is the health concerns, because nobody really knew, correct, about just what this the virus is that we're dealing with.
No, I think, obviously the uncertainty in everything is significant, and I think health professionals are expecting the virus to have been more contained by now. Thought it was going to be on the downslope as we moved into the fall, and that's not been the case. Mm-hmm. And the South kind of started a little bit late, so we're actually having some of our peak times right now. And so here, it's just, you know, from a, you know, from a health and safety standpoint, even though we have good, you know, protocols, I just, you know, you need to have parents, student athletes, you know, everybody involved in the situation that feel comfortable about it. Even if you have, you know, social distancing and you're masking and you have a number of provisions, I just think it was probably too many hurdles. It came to a point where it added up enough to say, you know, this is probably not the wisest thing to do at this time.
You know, and the other thing that's kind of cropped up, but I've noticed several players have been stricken with this, is the myocarditis thing. It's a health thing or a heart thing. That's a reaction to this, to the COVID.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the myocarditis is certainly something that we took a look at and had some medical advisory advice on this. You know, that is something that really any virus, even a cold and other things, and can actually make you more susceptible to that. And I think that, you know, a standard practice or paying attention to those who get COVID, as you follow up with them for the next month or two, to really keep an eye on what they're doing with their heart, I think is a wise thing. A lot of it's not known, that correlation, but I think that there's a lot of pieces to this that we don't know, but we need to err on the side of caution.
Do you honestly think that the moving the fall stuff to the spring, can that work enough, or can you get enough bodies in there to make it work?
Well, time will tell. You know, I think that the virus will dictate what we do.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of changes in a month. So what does it look like 3 or 4 months from now? I don't know. Certainly testing is becoming more improved. And so the ability to get test results in a short period of time for them to be more affordable, I think that's going to take place, where treatments can be better. There's better knowledge about it. But I don't necessarily think, from what I've heard, I'm certainly not a medical professional, that I don't necessarily count on a vaccine available for the average person until maybe this summer. We're going to be dealing with COVID-19 for this season. I think it's going to be a basketball thing, a spring thing. We have to just expect that. And so can we put together a playing model that we can make this thing work? And so by moving fall sports to the spring, we certainly now are stacking more regular seasons, more games management issues on the schools. There's more championships. The NCAA has made a decision to move fall championships to the spring. So I think what's going to happen is those spring seasons are going to be truncated. They're going to be shorter. And in a sport like football, there's some necessity to that, because you want to be mindful of the number of events you have in a calendar year, because
mm-hmm.
we're going to turn right around in the fall and play 11 football games.
Right.
So, and those could be in our FCS playoffs. So these are things that, you know, it's probably wise that those seasons be shorter. But you still want student athletes and seniors to have an experience of a regular season championship, a conference championship, and maybe to play in an NCAA championship. And so even though there's many things about this that have not been ideal, I believe that we'll see. You know, we'll see if we can pull it off. And if we can't, then we won't do it. You know, we won't move forward. We will still do what is smart and wise as we get to that time.
When do you think you guys will be playing football games in the spring, and how many games do you think you're going to wind up playing?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer to that. I'm actually trying to see where the NCAA is going to be probably in the next several weeks
okay.
in terms of where they're going to lay the season parameters down. So they'll dictate, you know, maybe a start time, and they may dictate as well the number of total weeks that will be involved in the season. So that will have an indication as to how many games that we can play. So what we really want to know those answers, but we have to work with the NCAA. They're going to set some parameters for us, and then we'll have to react from there.
Of course, the next big sport out there is basketball, and after you guys lost the NCAA tournament last year, I'm assuming basketball now becomes a bigger than usual thing for you this year.
It's huge. You know, for us, we're ranked 13th in the country as a conference out of 32, and so basketball is very, very important to us. Extremely important to the NCAA. You've got over 90% of the overall budget comes from the men's basketball tournament. We've got to find a way to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be extremely important. That's in our conference too. You know, our conference regular season, our conference tournament is very important to us, the one we host in Asheville, North Carolina. So yes, it's a huge priority. And you know, we've got our fingers crossed, and we're going to do a lot of things to ensure that we make, you know, do everything we can for that to occur.
How much did hurting you guys losing the tournament last year was a big financial loss, wasn't it?
It was. Again, you know, you have to understand that it's not just the money generated by the tournament that's part of the distribution to schools. All the money that's generated by the NCAA is part of money that goes to, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for schools at our level and millions at a higher level that relate to other things. Like there's the Student Athlete Opportunity Fund, and there's money that schools get for sports sponsorships, the number of scholarships that they have. So this is all part of their budget. So you had basically, you were cut down to, you know, approximately a third of what you've been used to getting. And it caused huge issues. And I just don't know how some conferences can sustain something like that again. But there's some big issues ahead. You know, the major schools, if they don't play a football season, you know, you're seeing, you know, deficits of $30 or $40 million. I mean, mm-hmm. How do they overcome that? They may not have a reserve that large.
That's right.
Institutions that are having drops in enrollment and are able to have to cancel housing contracts, millions of dollars to those institutions. So you really have to keep in mind that it's the institution first, and the health of the institutions, what they're doing academically, that's first and foremost. That is critical for our schools. And then also an NCAA tournament, again, it pays for so many things for institutions, big and small. And so, yeah, it's absolutely critical. And I think the NCAA knows that, and they're really working on very hard to have a number of different strategies to ensure that occur.
Okay. Jim, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I just, it's always good to, you know, I always kind of view Indiana as my home state. Just have so many memories there. It's just great people. That's the thing you always remember. You know, certainly wish everybody listening to be safe and be mindful of all those guidelines, because we all want to see everybody safe in the future. So thanks. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim. Greatly appreciated. And best luck to you guys down there in the Southern Conference. And take care and stay safe, okay?
Thanks. You have a blessed day.
All right. You take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's been Jim Schaus, who is the Southern Conference commissioner right now. We're going to take another break. We have Jeff Hurd on the phone from the Western Athletic Conference. He'll be our guest next. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We've had talked about high school football with George Gilbert and Don Stock. We just had an interesting interview with Jim Schaus, who's the conference commissioner of the Southern Conference. We're going to be joined now by Jeff Hurd, who's the Western Athletic Conference commissioner. Jeff, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. I'm doing well. Thank you.
How's everything out in Colorado this morning?
Well, it's a little smoky. A lot of fires going on in the mountains, but other than that, It's a beautiful morning.
Yeah, that's. I forgot you guys do have some of that out there, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have more than some going on right now, but generally speaking, it's a great day.
It's good. First of all, you guys just within the last week or so have made the decision not to have fall sports, so explain a little bit why you decided not to have fall sports this time around.
Well, there's a number of factors that go into decisions like that. I don't think there's a commissioner or a president or an athletic director in the country that wants to shut down athletics at any time of the year. But the bottom line is that if you go through all the factors, it ultimately comes down to the health and safety of the student athletes involved. And in simplest terms, risk versus reward. And if you in our opinion, in our situation, and remember, we are a conference that stretches over a great portion of the Western United States.
Right.
We felt that the risk of trying to play in the fall simply did not simply outweighed any possible rewards there. And understanding at the same time that we are taking opportunities away from student athletes who look forward to the competition, look forward to competing in their respective sports, but at the same time, our ultimate responsibility is to look out for their health.
You know, even though you guys don't have football, but you stretch everywhere. You're out in Arizona, California, New Mexico, Utah, Washington, and you even come back into the Midwest here at Illinois, at Chicago State, and plus down in the southwest part of Texas. So you travel becomes a big issue for your kids, doesn't it?
Well, it's a huge issue, and it was a factor in the decision-making process. We are not a bus league. We're an airplane league.
Mm-hmm.
And we had several of our areas in the conference, from Phoenix to Southern California to Southern Texas, state of Washington, a relative hotspot relative to the pandemic. And that was part of the process, too, in making decisions. But to put teams on airplanes and have them travel the distances that we have to travel, to have them on the road for, two or three days at a time when they go on road trips, simply too many obstacles involved there to consider playing this fall.
And then also from the standpoint, as you said, and then you add Chicago coming from the West Coast into Chicago, that's not a short trip either. And Chicago's is still fairly a hot spot, too.
It is, and as a matter of fact, part of the, part of the thinking there too is if you, depending on where you're coming from, the state of Illinois had a 14-day, or probably still has a 14-day, quarantine period for those who come in from hotspots.
Yeah, they do.
That's just not a workable situation.
Do you honestly think with moving all your sports from the fall to the spring, can you get all those in, and can it work the right way for you?
I think that's a really good question. It's a question that I don't believe at this point has an answer. We've made the decision to look at the feasibility of spring, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. I think the unknowns are obvious. We don't know what the pandemic situation will be once we get to January. We don't know, from a operations standpoint, whether our institutions can put on events, and you got to remember you're going to put spring sports on top of winter sports and spring sports at the same time. So do your institutions have the necessary facilities, the necessary personnel, and the necessary medical support to be able to do that all at the same time? And those are questions that we're asking ourselves right now. We're doing our own research with our institutions and trying to determine whether it's feasible or not. And I think that process will probably take another, 30 to 45 days or so before we can really make that decision whether we can move forward to the spring or not.
And then the other, thing of it is that you're going to turn right around in the fall and start those sports that you're moving to the spring from this fall again at that point, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And I think, another way in simplistic terms to look at it is from a, we'll take one sport that really is three sports, and that's cross country, indoor track, and outdoor track. So theoretically, what we're talking about now is having all three of those sports going on in a period from January, sometime in January or early February, to early May, I think that's highly unlikely that you could do that. One of those, and it would probably have to be not included, and perhaps even two of them not included if you tried to do that. But just an example, in our case, with men's and women's soccer, team sports, women's volleyball in the fall, and putting those into the spring, on top of institutions that also have softball, another team sport, baseball, another team sport, along with the other individual sports, golf, tennis, and such. To try to do those all during the same time period is not quite as easy as it might sound. And so those are we have to look into the obstacles involved there and whether or not that can actually be done.
You know, one thing that plays into your favor is you guys do not have football, but then again, that would be a huge moneymaker for you if you ever decided to bring football back. So have you thought about bringing football into the league again or not?
Well, it's a discussion that we have on occasion, maybe more informal than formal. We haven't made that decision to answer your question specifically. We do, though, have three institutions, even though we don't play football as a league. We have three institutions that do have football programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, the impact of football being shut down also has a major impact on them individually. So, but as a conference, it's probably the first, I've been with the WAC for more than 30 years, and it may be the first time in 30 years that I've been happy that we weren't dealing with a football issue right now.
I know a lot of people are dealing with that, and they're not coming up with the best of answers that I know that they want to have for them to play football this year. Of course, in the big sport for you guys turned out to be basketball, and do you think you can get basketball started when it's supposed to start, or do you see it moving back a month or two?
I think, in a perfect world, we'll start on time. I think the reality is that it'll probably be pushed back some. Now, whether that's a couple weeks or a month or 2 months, difficult to say at this time because, it depends on how things play out in the next, roughly 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And before decisions made from the NCAA level, from relative to the start time of the season. But I think it's probably more likely than not the season will be delayed in some form. But to what time frame that'll be, just too difficult to say at this time.
And I think what'll happen this year is that the conference season, that seems to be what everybody's kind of shooting for. That seems to be the biggest thing for basketball this year is to at least get a conference season in.
Yeah, no question about that. We want to get the conference season in. We want to get the basketball season in. As you know,
mm-hmm.
as fans know, the importance of the NCAA basketball tournament is critical to intercollegiate athletics. For a number of reasons. Revenue certainly is a major part of that, but already going through 1 year without it and facing a possibility, even though at this time we don't know what that possibility is, but in a worst-case scenario, if we were not able to conduct the NCAA basketball tournament again this year, I think that would have a devastating effect on a number of institutions and conferences.
That was basically,
so our goal is we're going to play the basketball season if we can.
That was basically my next question: is how much finances do people have in order if they don't have a second straight season? How much does that really hurt? I'm sure it hurts more than you can think about.
Yes, excuse me. It's one of those questions you don't like to think about. But I think it's difficult to be specific about it. But I would say this. The ramifications of another year without the NCAA basketball tournament would be enormous, and they would be potentially very devastating to a number of conferences and certainly to a number of institutions.
Yeah, and you, and especially with your guys' league, because you got basically a lot of new teams that have come into the league this year going to be playing basketball, correct?
That's correct. We have two new ones this year. We lost two from the previous years, but we're a 9-team conference right now. We have some acclimation to do, for our new members, and what basketball does, and we tend to think of basketball in a vacuum and the importance of the NCAA basketball tournament, but the reality is the other programs that the NCAA basketball tournament supports, both at the institutional levels, at the conference levels, and at the NCAA level, for that matter, is critical to the future of intercollegiate athletics.
Yeah, and also I know Grand Canyon, which was one of your newer additions, I think their whole team was in quarantine for a while this year. I assume that they're back out of that now.
They are, but you are right. When they first reported or informal workouts, they did quarantine the entire basketball team. We've had others that, like most conferences have had, where there's been some smaller pockets of quarantines, but we'd like to think that we're headed in the right direction right now. We like most conferences, have our own medical advisory committee that meets on a regular basis. It's made up of medical personnel from each of our institutions. So we get great input from the NCAA and Dr. Brian Hainline, the chief medical officer there, on a weekly basis. And so we, from a medical standpoint, we think we're following all the proper protocols. We have great information. And as we move forward, we feel, as opposed to last March when things were, shut down almost overnight.
Right.
And we didn't have the ability to have a lot of lead time in looking at what options were and possibilities and how to work with it. At least at this point, we've had that opportunity, and it doesn't mean it's an easy. We can find easy solutions, but at least we know have a much better idea of what we're dealing with.
Okay, Jeff. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I think it's. I would just say to all college fans out there, be patient. It's difficult. It's difficult for us to be patient, but every conference in the country is doing what it believes is its best, and is doing everything it can to continue with competition in a number of sports, in all sports, as we move forward.
Okay. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. You take care out there and be safe, and we will catch you further down the line, okay?
Appreciate it, Ken. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. All right. That's been Jeff Hurd, who's the commissioner of the WAC Conference out in the western part of the United States. That's going to wrap it up for our show today. Thanks to our guests. We had George Gilbert, the head football coach at Clinton Central. We had Don Stock, who is our play-by-play guy. We previously had Jim Schaus, who is the conference commissioner of the Southern Conference. We just wrapped it up with Jeff Hurd, who is the Western Athletic Conference commissioner. That's going to do it for the show this week. Everybody have a great week. Take care, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.